Greetings of grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. In our text for this, the third Sunday after Pentecost, Father's Day and Confirmation Day, and yeah, I have to fit all of that into one text. Our text for today is taken from the Epistle to the Romans, the fifth chapter. We're going to read verses 1 through 12 and then verses 18 through 21 in that chapter. It's Romans 1 through 12 and then 18 through 21 where we read in the name of our Lord. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed. Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And then moving to verse 18, therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us pray. Most gracious and almighty God, our Father, we thank you this day for making us your offspring. And we pray, Father, that you would quicken us and strengthen us through your word. By your Holy Spirit, sanctify us in the truth. Your word is truth. For Jesus' name's sake, amen. And this is simply what we come to. This is the only reason that we exist for, is to understand very clearly that we are a gift of God and we received gifts from God. One of the hardest things that we have to understand is a God that requires nothing of us. And sadly, a lot of people spend almost all their lives on a little hamster wheel trying to, like, somehow improve the situation with God instead of understanding nothing, nothing could ever, ever add improvement to what God has done through Jesus Christ. And this is simply what Paul is talking about and the point that he's trying to make here. He says very clearly, understanding, that because we are justified by faith, God's peace is on us. We have God's peace. God cannot think ill of us. It's impossible. We have his peace. We're at peace with him. The blood of Jesus Christ is the peace treaty that says, yes, you have peace. And he says, we have this peace through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we gained entry. In other words, we gained entry into God. We gained entry into his peace. He says, by grace. He says, and it's by this grace, he says, we live. It's in this grace that we live. And he says, and we brag. We brag. We brag. We brag. Because we know that he has saved us. Because we have this certainty that we can go into the world and we can tell them very clearly, oh yes, as a matter of fact, this is exactly what is done. This is the way that it is. This is precisely what God has done. This is precisely what he has accomplished. This is precisely the way that we live. And there isn't another understanding in this. He says, and that's why when we face the difficulties of life, the vicissitudes, the ups and downs, the different things we go through, he says, not only, he says, in this, but we also brag in tribulations. He says, we know. When we go through difficulties, he says, we know that God hasn't deserted us. It's just the opposite. God is with us. God is seeing us through all of these things. He says, knowing that the tribulation works endurance, endurance makes us stand the test, and standing the test gives us hope. And that's the whole thing. That's why in this world right now, we cannot afford to be hopeless. And we cannot walk around like a moping group of people thinking that we're hopeless. This is the greatest day that we ever live. And tomorrow may be better. The reality is every day that we draw breath, that we walk in this earth, our Lord is with us. The confession of faith is upon us. The finished work of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all unrighteousness. And we face the world with that knowledge. The world can't take that from us. The only person that can take it from us is us. And that's why we can't afford to get mopey. But we do, we get mopey. And then we read the internet, and that makes us more mopey. Because if we aren't scared by the time we start reading it, the more we read it, we will be. Because there's something that's going to make you miserable. There's some sort of thing. And you tell me exactly what are you going to do to fix it. All we do is sit around and complain. And last I looked in the Old Testament, and you read Exodus, God didn't think too highly of complaining. He pointed out very clearly, you're supposed to understand I'm your God. I know how to take care of things, and I'll take care of you, and I never need to ask your advice, because I'm really good at it. And this is basically the point of what Paul is saying. Every day, every moment, whatever we live in, we understand very clearly we belong to God. God is our Father. I've told you this story many times, you know. When I was a kid, my dad used to tell me all the time, he'd say, Jay, he says, you're going to get in trouble. He says, you're going to get in trouble because you're my son. And he said, the moment that you do, he says, don't go to anybody else. The moment you get in trouble, you run to me. You run to me. That's exactly what God says. The moment you have trouble, don't run away. You run to me. You run to me as fast as you can. You seek my help, and I will give it to you. And this is why Paul is saying this, no matter what it is, whatever we face, whatever sin we have, whatever difficulty we have one advocate that is constantly always with us, and that is our God. And we may freely approach him. And he goes on to explain why. He says, this love of God through the Holy Spirit, he says, because when we were out without strength, he says, we couldn't remedy our own situation, he says. Christ died for the ungodly. But he's not done with that. He says, for scarcely maybe somebody would die for a righteous person, but nobody's going to die for an unrighteous person. He says, but God demonstrates his love for us because while we were still sinning, and I want you to understand in Greek, this is an imperfect. And it means that while we're still engaged in sinning, it doesn't mean that we quit. It says, while we were still engaged in sinning, Christ died for us. And then he says, much more than that. He says, being justified by his blood, we are now saved from wrath. It's impossible. And he'll go in later in this book. He'll say, there is now, therefore, no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. He says, for if it's true that when we were enemies, in other words, we had placed ourselves in enmity with God, he says, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, then much more being reconciled. If we've been brought into this position where now God has taken away the enmity and has restored his relationship with us, he says, we shall be saved by his life. And he says, and not only that, he says, not only that, he says, not even that's enough. He says, but we joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the atonement. Did you just hear that? Did you hear what he said? So that we would understand. All of our lives we go through this thing. We get on this stupid treadmill with God, where we try to figure out, you know, what's the angle? You know, what's the angle? You know, how do we figure out how to appease God? Well, good luck with that. Because God says he's already fully appeased. It's impossible to appease him. He can't be. He's already done with that. And when he looks for the appeasement, guess what he looks for? Us. Because through Jesus Christ, he's taken away our sin. And all that he sees when he looks upon us is this perfect, righteous little offspring of his that he's cleansed in the blood of his son. That's all that he sees. He doesn't see all the junk that we bring up. He doesn't turn around and look for all the flaws. Paul says he's already seen all the flaws. He knew every last one of them. But for Jesus' sake, he atoned for us. He redeemed us. He shed Jesus' blood. And by that blood, he restored us and gave us eternity. And he says, this one thing, this one sin brought sin upon all people. There's no way to change it. He says, the judgment came upon all people, he says. It's a sentence of death, literally, is what this word means in Greek. He gave us a sentence of death. There was a sentence of death that came upon us because of the sin of Adam. He says, even so, through the righteousness of one person, the free gift came upon all people unto justification of life. And that's the way that we now live. You see, you're going to spend your life living in grace. It's like just like the coolest thing. Your whole life, you are going to live your whole life living in grace. So that on the day that physically your body expires, you won't even be allowed to die. All that's going to happen is your physical body will expire, but you won't die. You're going to be eternal. You're going to live forever. You just got a superpower. And that's what we forget. All the days of our lives, we get so bogged down with garbage. We lose sight of the thing that's the most important. We're eternal. We're eternal. We live forever, forever. And he says, this is a free gift. He says, I just pure and simple gave it to you, that's all. I pure and simple just gave it to you. And he says that then, as by one man's disobedience, he says, all these people were made sinners. He says, by the obedience of one, all these people are made righteous. He says, he took away the sin of the world so that we wouldn't have to be concerned about it anymore. But now our focus in our life would be upon Jesus the Christ. And that's the way that we would live. And he says, the law came in. When the law comes in, he says, it shows us that we're sinners. He says, but where sin abounded, he says, where sin becomes all the greater, he says, grace abounds all the more. He says, sin can't take away grace. This is the thing that we've messed up, that somehow or another, well, if I sin, then I lose the grace. Dumb. Where sin abounds, grace abounds all the more. That's why I loved my dad, because he said, he knew, I'm a sinner. Well, why am I a sinner? Because he's a sinner. That's why. And he knew how this would work. So he said very clearly, understand there's grace. The one thing I've got for you is grace. You come to me. You come to me. And that's what God says. You just come to me. You come to me anytime, any place, anywhere, no matter what. You just come to me. Come to me. Because the one thing I will give you is grace. I will show you grace. If this world turns its back on you entirely, he says, I will receive you, and I will always receive you. I can't do otherwise. That would be totally against my nature. And he says, so that sin reigns to death, the physical body has to die. He says, but grace reigns through righteousness, through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's all that matters. In the end of all of these things, you see, I could sit here and ask you to tell me what's the sixth petition of the Lord's Prayer and its meaning. And you'd sit there and you'd look at me like, well, you know, I learned that once. I remember one time I had to do that in order to get confirmed. And, you know, and then you'd sit there and say, well, I think maybe I can remember some of it. And you know what? When you get to heaven, you know, St. Peter, he's always at the door. I don't know. I hope he gets to do other stuff. You know, poor guy, he's kind of like, always at the door. What's he doing at the door? It's like, I hope, you know, I mean, he was a pretty principled apostle. I hope he gets to do things better than that. St. Peter isn't going to be at the door saying, you know, hey, give me the sixth petition of the Lord's Prayer. And its meaning. Don't think I'm just asking for the petition. I want the meaning. No. He isn't going to have to ask anything. Because the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ shields us and keeps us and protects us. And we are washed in that blood. And we are blameless in his sight. So that when we do get to the door, it ain't going to be St. Peter. St. Peter will have better things to do. It's going to be God, our Father, and our Lord Jesus Christ, who will say to us, welcome. Welcome. You come in, you good and faithful servant. For I have made you righteous in my sight. Then we're going to hear these other words where he's going to simply say, I've been waiting to see you. I've been waiting to see you. And like they say in Pidgin, instead of saying amen, so in Hawaii they say, "Das it. Das it. And das it. For Jesus' sake." Let us pray.